moving on when it hurts really, really bad. Let's talk about it on Key Life. This is Key Life with Steve Brown, an honest and refreshing look at Bible doctrine as it applies to daily living. If you have a Bible, get it. And here's Steve Brown, the teacher. Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, turn to the 20th chapter of Jeremiah. I'm going to do another week on this. I just have to. We're going to look at the 28th chapter of Jeremiah next week. There's a friend of mine there by the name of Hananiah, and he's a twit. I'm going to introduce you to Hananiah. I mean, he said he was serving God, and he wasn't. And we'll talk about that. And then I'm going to go next week. I'm going to try to finish it, Jeremiah, next week. I want to go to the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. And what we are supposed to do when we are God's people, the leaven, in a strange land or a strange city or a strange community where most of the people are not God's people. You say, well, I know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to tell them the truth and fix them and make sure they become moral like us. You're going to be quite surprised. That's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to bear witness to truth. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. That'll be next week. We're now looking at the failure of Jeremiah and some of the things in the 20th chapter that you learn from that particular failure. We've learned that the scriptures are quite honest. The last few verses of that chapter are just awful. I mean, you don't think that a real man of God would ever talk that way. But he does. And I suggested, did you do it, that you call your pastor and say to him or her that you love them, that you're praying, and not ask for anything, and not try to fix anything. Just say, I want you to know I love you, and I haven't said that in a long time. I appreciate what you're doing for God and for our congregation. And then we saw the loneliness of obedience, and we saw that in the verses in Jeremiah. Then, yes, then we saw the chains of God that you really can't leave, verses 7 through 8. I mean, it's really, really bad. And Jeremiah says, oh, Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You're stronger than I and have prevailed. And then he complains again to God. Then I said, I'm not going to speak of this, the ninth verse, of you anymore, 20th chapter of Jeremiah. And I could not. You ever know how that is? It's hard sometimes to belong to him, but you can't get away because once you've seen truth, you can't unsee it. And then Paul said to the Corinthians, that the reason we can't get away from it is why? Because he's going to strike us with a lightning bolt if we do. No. Because God is a monster and he's scary. Well, he is scary, but that's not the reason you stay. Paul said we're constrained by the love of Christ. Then I want you to note something that's really interesting. Faith in a difficult time. Look at verses 11 through 12. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them. I have pleaded my cause before you. Now, that's a man of God holding on. No matter what. Now, how do you make that kind of statement? Well, it wasn't made overnight. It's the kind of statement that Job makes. I know that my Redeemer liveth. How do you make that kind of statement when it really hurts? Well, first you do it by remembering the past. Has God been faithful to you in the past? Build a memorial and say, well, he loved me then. He was faithful then. He didn't let me go then. I suspect he won't do it now. You can do it by affirming the truth. You don't decide on truth when you're in the battle. Jeremiah already knew the truth. He said, and we've seen it in this 20th chapter of Jeremiah, that the truth was inside of him, and he simply couldn't get rid of it by hanging on to present realities. You know, the loneliest times I've ever known have sometimes been the times when I was closest to God. And then Jeremiah understood future certainties. God promised Moses, said, look, Moses, I'm going to give you your people. I'm going to protect you in the wilderness. When Moses died or whatever happened to him, God took a big old stamp and it stamped it on the promise, fulfilled. God promised Abraham, fulfilled. God promised David, fulfilled. God promised Jeremiah, fulfilled. Read the last chapter of Jeremiah. Everything that Jeremiah said was going to happen, happened. But because of those things, he was able to make a statement of faith in a hard time. I want you to see in this chapter the importance of being right in God's eyes. And the verses that I just read to you. You know, everybody thinks he's ugly and his mother dresses him funny, but he says, I know that they will be shamed and I'll be vindicated. Why's that? Because you don't decide truth by a vote. Why's that? Because if you stand for God, you're on the winning side, even if it doesn't look that way. Hugh Latimer used to say when he would get ready to preach before Henry VIII, Henry VIII was not a nice person. I take great delight in sometimes pointing out to my Anglican friends that they're a part of a denomination that was formed because of the lust of a king. I mean, Henry VIII is not your favorite, and Latimer knew that, and Latimer would say this to himself, Latimer, thou art going to speak before the high and mighty king, Henry VIII, who is able, if he should think fit, to take thy life away. But Latimer, be careful what thou sayest. Remember also, thou art about to speak before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Take heed that thou dost not displease him. It's important to be right in God's eyes. You know, I've done it both ways. And even when it's not working out right, if I've done it God's way, I feel better about it. Look at the 13th verse. This is a reflection of the New Testament teaching. You know, you can find New Testament in the Old and Old Testament in the New. I said when we began this Old Testament survey, don't carry around a little New Testament and think you've got the Bible. You don't. You have a part of the Bible. Richard Brad at the seminary where I teach says, you have God's addendum to His Word when you have only the New Testament. God doesn't change His mind. He's still God. Now, He shows you some new stuff in the New Testament, but you can find this reflection everywhere. And this is by example. Look at the 13th verse. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For He has delivered the life of the poor from the hands of evildoers. Well, it didn't look like it. I mean, here's Jeremiah, and everybody's turned against him. They've got him in stocks. They're going to kill him. He hasn't been successful, and yet in the middle of it, he praises the Lord. Well, that's what Paul says, that we're to praise God in every circumstance of our lives. Jeremiah is an illustration of what Paul would say hundreds of years later. Epictetus said, what else can I do, a lame old man, than sing hymns to God? If I were a nightingale, I would play the part of a nightingale. But I'm a rational creature and ought to praise God. This is my work. I do it. Nor will I desert this post so long as I'm allowed to keep it. And I exhort you to join me and do the same thing. Let me tell you something to do before you go to bed tonight. I want you to list all the things that irritate you. You say, well, that's a long list. I want you to write down on that list some really bad stuff that's happening to you. Maybe you're going through a difficult time financially. Maybe you're going through a difficult time emotionally. Maybe you've got a son and you don't know where he is or what he's doing. You know he's away from the Lord. And you just pray the compass that he grew up with will point home sometime. But you don't know. Maybe the doctor just gave you some really bad news and it's really hard. Maybe you're going through a divorce and you think you're going to die. You just aren't going to make it. Maybe your husband said, look, I'm out of here. I don't love you anymore. I'll never love you again. I don't think I ever loved you. I'm out of here. And he's hard and he's mean and he's not the same man that you married. And it really hurts bad. Maybe you've taken a stand. And friends don't understand. When I've done the best I can and my friends don't understand. Thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. Maybe you've taken that stand, and it's really hard. Maybe you're a pastor right now, and everybody in the church, it seems, is. I talked to a pastor this morning. He went, they had 900 members in his church, and now down to 300. It's been so hard, and he's been faithful. But it's been, maybe you're in that position. Maybe you're listening on the mission field, and you've served God for so long, and there's been so little result. I want you to write all that stuff there. Right? I mean, whatever. Isn't this a happy thought? I'm sorry, but you got to do this. Write every bit of it down on a legal piece of paper. And then at the end, I want you to do this. Lord, I was listening to this foghorn on the radio, and he said that you said I was supposed to thank you for all this, praise you for every circumstance. I don't understand these circumstances, but I do know that you're in charge, and all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So I'm doing this by faith. Don't like it, but I'm doing it by faith. I praise you for every bit of it.
Do it.
And you'll be so surprised. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our summer magazine, I'd love to send it to you free. It centers around the law. There's a great piece by Brian Chappell, who's the president of Covenant Seminary in St. Louis, The Power of Joy. I wrote a piece, The Law, God's Gateway to Freedom. There's a question and answer column. My itinerary's there. A lot of good resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as you're coming to Jesus. Send it to you free. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. You can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And if you can help us financially, most of you can't, but if you can, be as generous as you can, because we really do need it. We'll be faithful with your gift. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope, and for any gift of any size when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching, as long as supplies last, how to know that you know him. If you're struggling with doubt about your salvation, you're going to like this tape. Hey, listen, guys, I got to go. Whenever you write a call, would you give us the call letters of this great station? And oh, yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.